Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts. We're thankful, Lord, that you've given us this day, this opportunity to be together. Father, we thank you for each one that's here now. And I pray as we open the Word of God together, Lord, may the Holy Spirit be our teacher. May he give us the instructions we need for our life. And God, may you be honored and may you be glorified, Father, in all we do and all we say today. Bless those, Lord, that are not able to be with us today. I pray you strengthen their bodies, lift them up, and God, help them to be back as soon as possible. Now, Lord, we ask you to have your will and way in our hearts today. May you be honored, may you be glorified in everything that we say and everything we do today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, in chapter 1, again, just to refresh here, we've been talking about how to live with faith in trials. Now, in chapter 2, James goes a step further. He talks to us how to live with faith and works. Faith and works. Now, chapter 1 tells us that faith without works is what? It's dead. There's nothing there. So today we're going to begin in this chapter on how to live with faith and works. Our Christian life, again, is a life of faith. Our faith should produce works in our life. So we're going to look at this today. In chapter 2, verse number 1, James is writing. He says, my brethren. We know he's talking to who? He's talking to Christians, right? He's talking to Christians. Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Now we see in this verse, in verses 1 through 4, we see a command from James to Christians. First of all, he says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. Now, another way of saying that could be, stop holding the faith of our Lord Jesus with respect to persons. With respect to persons. We see here that as we look at this, respect to persons, what does this mean? It means to show favor to some people over others. Show favor to some people over others. Well, we know in Christ we're all what? We're all equal, are we not? We're all equal. And so James here is trying to relay this message to. We see here sometimes this could mean to lay hold on one's face. In other words, the first time we see somebody we've never seen before, if we're not careful, we see a person maybe not completely like he is. Okay? We see what we think of that individual because of the way they dress, who they are, whatever. But we get an opinion of a person when we first see one, do we not? So what I'm saying is we might be looking at a mask, M-A-S-K. We see a person outside. We don't see the person inside, okay? And to be honest with you, sometimes we all, as believers especially, if not careful, we will wear a mask sometimes where we are. We won't be ourselves completely because we want others to have the impression of us that we are this way or not that way, okay? So James is saying, do not have respect of persons here. See, because in doing so, we may be judging people. We know we're not to judge people, are we not? Never to judge people. So we see here, there is no respect of persons with Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 2, verse 11 tells us this. God is not partial to anybody. He's the same to everybody. The red, yellow, black, and white, it doesn't matter who they are, what color they are, God loves everybody the same. And James is telling here, he's giving us a command. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. With respect of persons. You know, we have to be careful sometimes, even going out on visitation. We may say, well, you know, we don't need to go to this area because, you know, we know all those people are, they're not going to respond to us. Or for this area. It may be the trailer parks. It may be the highest place in town. But God is no respect. He loves everybody the same. And we need to realize that we ought to love people too. It's our commission to go tell everybody, the rich, the poor, up and down, in and out, no matter who they are, about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here, the Lord was as polite to the woman at the well in John chapter 4 as he was to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. It was the same way to both. We see that. We also see he was gracious to the woman. that touched the hem of his garment as he was to the ruler of the synagogue. He was all the same. No respect of persons. No respect. That is, giving favor to people. Giving favor to people. Partiality to people. That's what he's talking about here. So we see here, he was open also to he was as open to the blind man also as he was to the rich young ruler. Jesus is the same to everybody. He treated everybody the same love, the same interest, the same care, and the same concern everywhere he went. This was Jesus, the way he was, and he wants us to be the same way. So we see here, he treated everybody the same. When it comes to salvation, someone said the greatest barrier to the rich man to salvation is pride. And the greatest barrier to the poor person to salvation is bitterness. And that's very true. That's very true. So we're seeing partiality, respect of persons, fondness or preference or bias. We see in verse number 1, James says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord. My brethren, we're all believers in Jesus Christ, we're the same as believers. All believers in Christ, we belong to the same body, do we not? The body of Christ, the church of Christ. All believers also, we see our glorious Lord is so important to us, and he's impartial. He's not partial to anybody. So we see the command here in verse number 1 through verse number 4. Now let's look at verse number 2. Verse number 2. First of all, may I say that we see also in the book of Acts where Peter was preaching his sermon there in Acts chapter number 10, we show how God is no respecter of persons. He does not judge men by outward appearance, but sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. But Jesus did not. He has chosen the poor, but sometimes we look down on the poor, and we should not do that. But Jesus never did. Respect of persons, partiality, we're talking about here. Now, in verse number 2, notice, for if there come unto you, your assembly, a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sir, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. And ye, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Now, how true this is, a good example, a good illustration here, James is telling us about this man. He shows here us a prosperous man and also a poor man. Now, they go to a church probably the same at the same time, the same day, okay? They come in, and we see here, he shows us here the prosperous man. He says he has the gold ring. He has fine clothes on, okay? He shows us the poor man. He's in need of want, no doubt. He has needs. We see the rich man, he wants flattery, okay? He wants to be recognized. He wants to be given high praise. The poor man, all he wants is charity. He is needed. He has needs. And both of them come to the church at the same time. We see here, he shows us this. Both men arrive again at the same time. Both men are strangers in this place. And what takes place? We see, according to the scriptures, the usher comes and invites the rich man. And he shows respect to the person. He says, okay, you come up here and sit in the front. Now we know that in the early church, the front seats were those of high respect for people. That's where they sat. So the usher ushers this man to the front seat. We also see, also, attention was given to him immediately, to this man. We also see he ushered him to a seat like a prince. But the poor man, however, he was more or less dumped to the side. You can stand here or you can sit at my footstool. He says this too. So we see here the respect of person was not, it was partiality. This is an illustration of what partiality is here in the book of James. We see One of the great dangers that our churches today face is sometimes we look there is to look for people that can help us rather than we look for people that we can help. Folks, we need to be helping people. When people come to church, they will get their help. But we need to get them to church, first of all. So we need to be looking for all kinds of people. Instead of looking for people that we can, you know, to help us, we need to be helping people. Too many of us today want to be blessed, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to be blessed. But we should also want to be a blessing to others. A blessing to others, you know. That's very important in our life. Showing respect to people. James is talking about here how we need to not be partial. We need not to be partial to people in our lives. So we see here in these verses an illustration of what it is to show respect to a person. A rich man and a poor man coming to an assembly and what took place. And we see here, may God help us not to be this way in our lives. Now, look at verse number 4 again. He says, are you not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? We see here the problem is recorded in verse number 4. We see also the problem is reviewed in verse number 5. He says, hearken, my brethren, my beloved brethren. Now notice here, in verse number 1, James says, my brethren. Okay? In verse number 5, he says, hearken, my what? My beloved brethren. My beloved brethren. We see here a graduation, so to speak, here. We see that in verse 1, he says, my brethren. Verse number 5, he says, my beloved brethren. James is seeing here that in case of partiality and all this, there has to be love expressed to people to help them to change. So he's saying, my beloved brethren. We see love coming from James to try to get these people to do what they ought to do rather than just reprimanding them. Reprimanding somebody needs to be done in love. And this is the way James is trying to describe this to us here when he says this about these people here. We see here, C.L. Lewis, a great man of God, wrote many books. I love to read his books. He's got many out. But he got saved. He found it appropriate to go to a church and join a church. Now, this is the first church he'd ever been to. He lived in this community, he got saved, and he decided to go to church. So when he went into this church, he found in the church body some of the people that before he was saved, he tried to avoid. He tried to avoid these people. He found the local grocer there. And the local grocer came to him when he came in and gave him a songbook. He also saw a man there that he recognized that he was walking around and his boots were squeaking. He saw in front of him as he stood there a lady that had a ridiculous hat on. And when they were singing, he noticed that the guy behind him, when they were singing, he was off key. So he was beginning to find all kinds of problems with people in the church. But we see here, later on, as it continued to come, he learned that many of these people that he was finding fault with were some of the well-devout Christians in that church. And what we're saying here, it's a great mistake to judge people upon their appearance. We don't judge people upon their appearance. Because this is being a judge. This is being a judge, and God does not want us to be that. By honoring someone because of their dress, we see what happens here. We make his appearance more important than his character. My character, your character, is more important than the way we dress. It's very important, our character. That is what we are all the time. What we are at church, what we are at home, at the grocery store, no matter what we are is very important. What we dress is important. What we wear is important, too. Don't take me wrong. But we can't assume by the way a person is dressed, they have a good character. They have a good character. So we see here the command. Now look at the choice in verse number 5. Let's read it again. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him. We notice here the problem here. God has chosen the poor people. God loves all people. But he has chosen the poor people to be rich in his faith. Thank God for faith. Thank God for the poor people have the same opportunity to have faith as the rich people do. See, when we by faith, when we live by faith in our life, God does something for us as believers. We see all that is God's is ours when we live by faith. All that's God's belongs to us. We see we can walk in his presence by faith. We walk in God's presence by faith, do we not? We also see we live in his power. Walk in his presence, we live in his power, and we also claim his promises when we live by faith. By faith. And this is what the Christian life is all about, is to live by faith. So we see here in verse number 5, God has chosen the poor. He's chosen the poor. You know, and we see there are many people in the Bible that were not rich. They were poor. Many of the apostles were not rich people. They were poor people. Many of them were. All the apostles and some of the prophets also. James, Moses, David, Jacob, all these were poor people. But they were rich in faith. They were rich in faith. They had faith in God. And that's why God used them. See, a person might be poor, but he can be rich in faith. Thank God for that. Rich in faith. That's more important anyway. A person who is rich in faith can hold in his hands. A person who is rich in faith can hold the key in his hand to the vaults of heaven. Heaven is open to him if our faith is rich in God. Because God has promised to supply all our needs, has he not? And we can all say to this today, hasn't God supplied all your needs? He has. He supplies many of our wants too, doesn't he? But God is good. But when we live by faith, a person who is rich in faith has heaven open to them of anything they need in their life. And what a blessing it is to know that. So we see here the choice here. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and those heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him. That love him. You know, we were talking about heaven somewhere the other day. I forgot where it was at. Trying to talk about how it is and how splendid it's going to be and all this. And, you know, we just can't imagine what it's going to be like in heaven. I know one thing. I'm looking forward to getting there. But to them, I want to be busy doing what God wants me to do here in this world, you know. So we see that heaven is a wonderful place to be. We see the unlimited resources of God are at the disposal of his children to accomplish his plan and his purpose in our life. They're always available. They're always available for us. We see that. We see here, again, James is writing here to encourage us as God's children to live that great life. One of the great dangers of the church today is not their poverty, but their prosperity. Their prosperity. Churches are different today than they used to be. You know, when you don't have much, and you have to trust God every day for what you need, it's one thing. But when God blesses us and we have abundance, I'm afraid our faith in God declines. Because we've been so blessed. Let's don't let prosperity keep us from having faith in God and what God wants me to do, what God wants you to do, you see, because that's very important in our life. God don't want us just to be wealthy and have all kinds of things in this world. He wants us to live for him. And we need to live. Our living for Christ is going to be by faith. It's going to be by faith, doing what he wants us to do. Knocking on doors, witnessing to people now is not what it used to be. It's much more humiliating because they've learned all the words, you know, that we know. And they try to deceive you and trick you and all that, but they can't. They're only deceiving themselves and tricking God, trying to. But nevertheless, what I'm saying is, as we live this Christian life, we need to realize that it's a life of faith. Faith in God to help us do what we need to do and what He wants us to do. So we see that God is going to provide everything that we need in our lives as a believer. He will do that. Someone wrote the song, I love this song, it's A Child of the King. There's one verse in that song says, I once was an outcast, stranger on earth, a sinner by choice and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down. Amen? An heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. My, what a message to know. As a child of God, we have that promise. The person that wrote that song was really on key, was he not? We also see in verse number 6, but you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Notice it says something about wealth sometimes will destroy a character. You've heard, and I've heard too, of people winning the lottery. And you see what happened to them. It literally destroyed them because they didn't know how to handle it. So you see, wealth is not bad, but sometimes wealth, some people can't handle it, some can, you know? So we see that money can buy most things in this world, can it not? You got the money, you buy anything you want. But we see also, what is so simple about showing respect to persons? Number one, it makes us a judge, and we're not to judge. And number two, it shows false values of people. Verse 5 and verse 6 tells us about that. He says, verse 6, but you have despised the poor, do not the rich oppress you. They try to get everything they can out of you and draw you before the judgment seats. So we see the perspective here for the Christian in what to do in this matter of favor and partiality. We also see showing favoritism or partiality. It is inconsistent with the teaching of Christ. He does not teach that. He teaches us to be the same. It also is results from evil thoughts. You know, we can easily think wrong about somebody by their appearance. I mean, that's our nature. We can just be thinking wrong because of what we think, how they look. It belittles people that are made in God's image. Everybody is made in God's image. And showing partiality belittles them. The person that God has made Himself. It also is a byproduct of a selfish motives. Our own selfish motives when we do this to people. Now favor and partiality. It goes against the Bible teaching also of the definition of love. What is love? Love is of God. And we're to love everybody. You know, no matter who they are, who we're facing in life, we're to love them. We also see that it shows lack of mercy to those that are less fortunate than we are. When we judge people, when we have favoritism. And also, it is hypocritical. And of course, last but not least, it's a sin. It's a sin to show partiality to people in our lives, you know. Now, don't take this wrong. There are people we are to respect as who they are. But I'm talking about showing favor towards one person over another. Okay? Because we're all the same. We're all the same. We all get up. We all put on our clothes the same way. We all do everything basically the same way. But we're talking about partiality in the body of Christ because it's wrong. It's wrong. Now, let's continue in this verse here. Look at verse number 7. Says, do not they blaspheme the worthy name by the which you are called? Those that show partiality, they blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all things. Now, verse number 8, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Now, how many of us fulfill that law? Probably none of us. We do the best we can, do we not? But we do not fulfill that law. Because God says later on in this verse, passage of Scripture, verse of the Bible, that if we offend in one law, we're guilty of all. We're guilty of all of it, you see. So we're seeing here, he's trying to let us know here the condemnation here of being partial and showing respect to people. We see here, we shall love our neighbor like you love yourself. Love our neighbor like we love ourselves. If we have respect to people, it's just an excuse, literally what it is, and because we are to love all people like God does. The royal law, what is the royal law? We know it's the law of God. Why is it called the royal law? Because of where it came from. It comes from God, its source. So God is love. This is called the royal law. It's called the royal law also because of its standard. Its standard is real high. We also see that love is the law of God. Love is the law of God, and he wants us to live by. He wants to live by his love, you see. Most of our sins, few people see. But there's not one of our sins that God don't see. He sees them all. He sees them all. See, few people know our hearts, but God knows our hearts. And I'm glad it's that way, aren't you? I'm glad that you don't know my heart, and I don't know your heart. But I'm so glad as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can know our concerns for each other. I know you've got something on your heart that's bothering you, something like that, I know that. But I'm talking about down deep in your heart who you really are. You see, God wants us to love people. Love is the law that God wants us to live by. When we live by the law of love, what happens? First of all, it binds us together. It brings us together in harmony, into one accord. It brings also fellowship amongst us when we live by the law of God. Nothing like sweet fellowship, is there? Nothing like being in the midst of people that love the Lord like you love the Lord. That's good to be able to be in those kind of environments. It really is. And also, when we love the law, it also brings encouragement to one another. To one another. When we love the law of God, you see. So, breaking the law is not good. We see this. Don't look at the mass and the circumstances in people's lives. Look into their hearts and realize that God loves them. God is not partial to them, and we should not be partial to them also. So may the Lord help us today in this matter. We must love and honor others for what they are, not what we think they are. Because what they are is more important than what I think they are. You know, what I think you are is important, but what you are to yourself is more important to you. We see here the solution to showing respect of being partial, to show favoritism. The solution to it is found in verse number 8. We just read it. If you fulfill the law, royal law, according to the Scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do what? Well. You do well. You do well. Well, so when we love others with Christ's love, we're always at the eye level. We love one another. We're at the eye level, so to speak. We also see everyone who comes into our lives is on the same level that we are. If we love God, the way we ought to love God, the way He wants us to. There is no partiality with love, and there should be no partiality with us. No partiality with people. We're all made of the same stuff, are we not? We all have the same nature. And I'm thankful that God loves all of us in spite of us. You know, our ways, our habits, the things we do, the things we don't do, God still loves us in our life. And so we see in verse number 1 again, chapter, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. It's not good. It's not good. God is love. We find in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8, he tells us that. And the law of love governs the members of God's kingdom. The law of love should govern our life, should direct our life. We also see that the love of God enables us to live and to live and to love our neighbors and to love others that we come in contact. It's so amazing how powerful the love of God is in helping us not to show partiality around people. The love of God frees us also to obey His commandments. It frees us to obey His commandments, the love of God. Folks, the command is no respect of persons. The choice, my brother, my dearly beloved brother, loving people. We see the condemnation is to avoid partiality and respect of persons, as he says in verse number 9. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law of transgression. You're breaking the law of God when we have partiality in our lives towards people. I'm thankful today to know that God, as we live this Christian life, day by day, He gives us instruction in His Word as how we're to live. How we're to live. How we're to love Him with all our heart. I said so many times, if my relationship with the Lord is what it ought to be, my relationship with my family and my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ will be much more easier. My relationship with Him is first, though. It's got to be first. And then other things will fall in place and take its priority here. So we're seeing here, James is writing to believers. He's writing to the church. He's writing to encourage them in how to live for the Lord. There's some things we should do. There's some things we should not do. And may God help us and give us the ability, the desire to live for Him and not show partiality to people. Because He wants us to love everybody. Everybody. You know, isn't it hard sometimes? It is. Sometimes it's hard to love somebody. It really is. But God, by God's help, we can. By God's help, we can. And may the Lord help us as we continue next week on this study about faith. We're going to be talking about faith proves itself by works. Faith will prove itself by our works, whether you have faith or not. The Bible tells us if we have faith, there will be works. We're going to look at how faith proves is proven by the works that we do in our life. God wants us to live, like Brother Alford said this morning, not only talk the talk, but walk the walk, and let others see our faith in Christ, see Him in us. Father, thank You today for loving us. We thank You for James. We thank You for his life. They lived, and God, how, Lord, You have shown us through him and the inspiration of your word, Lord, to sing about respect of person, Lord, and how generous and kind You were to everybody. And God, we need to be more like You. God, help us. Lord, I know, Lord, that we all sometimes fall and come short. But Lord, we're thankful that You are there always to help us and direct us and show us what we need to be doing. And God, I just pray now, Lord, You bless us this week. Help us to have a good week. Lord, help our lives to count for You. And God, teach us to love as we ought to love everybody. Lord, have Your will and way now in the next service. And we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.